Last week, Nashville SC traveled away from home to defeat their in-state rivals, Memphis 901 FC, 2-0. This week, Nashville returns home for their highly anticipated match against Indy 11 at Nissan Stadium. We discuss this and more here on Speedway Soccer Pod. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Speedway Soccer Pod. We're recording live from Alley Taps on Historic Printer's Alley, and as always, proud to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone podcast network, along with BGN, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Goal Press. I'm Jonathan Slape. You guys are going to have to put up with me hosting again as Davey is out gallivanting across Myrtle Beach, and I'm here along with
Ben Wright
and Andy Simmons.
Well, guys, we had a bit of a break. After a game that took place after a bit of a break, but Memphis 901 FC, we went down to Memphis this past weekend, beat them 2-0, ending the season with our first season with an in-state rival, beating them 2-0 twice. It was a pretty straightforward game, other than the early disallowed goal from Memphis from Najim being offside. But let's get your initial thoughts, Andy.
I almost said that I thought the Brandon Allen revenge game was coming, and I was almost right, but they disallowed that goal. No, pretty straightforward, I think. Nashville came into that game and was expected to win, and they went down there, took care of business, and they should have, too. They were the much better side for pretty much the entire game. Even though the numbers say that Memphis controlled possession, it was mostly because Nashville, you know, dictated the game and kind of played their style and really, you know, set forth once they scored those two goals. In the early beginning of or end of the first half and the beginning of the second half, they just rolled over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it wasn't a spectacular game for Nashville, but I think it was a pretty smart performance because they kind of weathered a lot of pressure from Memphis in the first half, and held on, kept it even, went ahead, and then right after the break, it was 3-4 minutes into the second half, they came out and got a 2-0 lead, and then after that, I mean. They had a couple of chances, but it was for the most part it was just Nashville limiting Memphis, and I feel like it was just a pretty professional performance and a good win on the road.
Yeah, and we know from some of the quotes from Gary before the game, and then just kind of what we thought. Nashville was dealing with a lot of injuries, very thin in midfield. We were called Vinny Vermeer. We saw the Oakford signing, which we saw him get his first. First start. So I think while it was a very much more defensive performance, you know, we succeeded a lot of possession to Memphis, let Memphis take like long range shots as well, because I mean Memphis did outshoot us 16-9. But I think all in all, the game plan that and how Gary set up the team, I mean, they executed it to perfection, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, and especially like you said, with a shorthanded squad. I mean, that midfield the midfield that he sent up was pretty much the only option he had. He didn't have a ton to work with there. So, I think it was overall a good performance. And, I mean, if Davey was here, he would talk about just having to grind out some ugly results on the road. And I think this was definitely one of those.
Well, both those guys in the midfield as well, too, played really well. Bolu and Vinny Vermeer, considering, you know, the circumstances that they were shorthanded. I think they both played absolutely solid. We expected Bolu to pretty much bossed the midfield, and he did that as well. But Vinny played great as well, too. Had some good looks. He distributed the ball well, and he definitely, you know, helped Bolu out. It was a really complimentary piece to him in the midfield.
I was really impressed with Vermeer defensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of a tough game for Nashville to get anything offensively from their midfield, but I think he did a really good job just breaking up play. And really, like Slape said, just limiting Memphis to shots from outside the box.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody that listens knows that we're big Polo Akinyode fans. But I think he's been used sparingly probably in the last couple games. But I think this game was a perfect illustration of what he brings. I thought his strength and his size and his ability to like just keep people off of him and kind of like when he has people trying to get the ball off of him. And then he had some great forward passes as well that kind of sprung some attacks. I thought Alan Wynn had some really good, great, you know, spells of play. I mean, he provided the assist for the second, for Rios' second goal. But I think, you know, at times where he's a player that he has a lot of speed and maybe decision making isn't always maybe his best. But I think this past week he was, for me, definitely the best
offensive player on Nashville's side. There was nothing that anyone on the Memphis sidelines could do to stop him. And I agree with you that he does have some questionable choices about whether he wants to shoot, whether he wants to lay off the ball. But he was that ball that he played to Rios on the counter. It was magnificent. And I think that if he continues to kind of, you know, develop himself a little bit, and when he gets to the final third, he can beat anybody on down the sideline. It's just a matter of a fact of whether he's going to be able to distribute the ball or he's just going to take a shot on his own.
Can we just talk about Jimmy Åkerfeldt for a second?
Yes. I mean,
he stepped in his
100% conversion rate.
Right. But I mean, even more than, like, without the goal, it would have been a pretty solid performance. He was really good defensively. He had that tackle right before Rios' goal. He blocked a shot in Nashville's box, and Nashville countered and went the other way. But yeah, and I think he was really good with the ball at his feet. He wasn't trying anything super ambitious. He was passing a lot to Doyle and Kimura. But I mean, he was solid with the ball, and I think he was just you can see why he's a guy who's played at the MLS level. Just in terms of defending, I thought he was spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's only one game, but I think his ability to step in with that team, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't really look out of place on the back line as far as from a communication standpoint, I think. And I think he's a good complement to Doyle as well. He's a fairly mobile center back, mm-hmm. and he's got a little bit of quickness. I think in his youth days, he was a forward mm-hmm. as well. So a lot of, you know, a lot of experience across the field. But yeah, like you said, Ben, you definitely see the reasons he's played in MLS and he's gotten games. So, I mean, I think going forward, we know this right now, it's just a short-term loan, and we don't know like an actual time frame on that. But, it could be an instance where he came in. He's there after a change in coaching staff at San Jose that they made GMM surplus. But, I mean, I think I was really pleased with what I saw from him.
Yeah, for sure. And then getting the goal doesn't hurt it either.
Yeah. Which was just a fantastic free kick from Maloto as well, because, I mean, I think there was a couple points. At first, I didn't even see the Maloto, the Åkerfeldt touch on it.
Right. Me neither. Yeah. We thought it just was some confusion on the defense and the goalkeeper messed up and he didn't know where it was going, but it turns out there was just a slight poke in the redirect, and that was all that Åkerfeldt needed.
And then I think probably the last thing I would say on this is Rios is one of those where we saw him, he got really isolated at times, and a lot of that came from Nashville's play and how they were set up. But, I mean, he's the kind of player that he just needs one chance, and that's why he's there.
And even when, I mean, aside from the goal, I mean, he was isolated and he was marked pretty heavily by both their center backs basically the entire game, but still his hold-up play and his first touch is always consistent. Mm-hmm. And so even when he was completely isolated, he was able to bring the ball down and drop it back and keep possession for Nashville. And I was just, again, really impressed by him.
Yeah. I mean, any other final thoughts on Memphis?
Well, Rios is still well in the hunt for the Golden Boot right now. At the time that game was played, he was leading the... He was one of the leaders with 12 goals, and he still has that right now.
Asante got two, though, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, they smacked Austin. I think it was 6-0 or something.
6-0, and they Phoenix is now continuing to be 12-0 on Dollar Beer Night.
Yeah, this is kind of a random stat about Phoenix. I just noticed this when I did the power rankings today. They have, I think, a plus 35 goal difference. That goal difference is more than 31 of USL teams have goals for.
That's insane.
Which is, yeah, that's just whatever they're. Phoenix is the real deal.
They're scary.
They're scary, scary good. And I think pretty much guaranteed to they're coming out of the Western Conference, I think.
Oh, yeah.
As long as they all stay healthy.
Yeah, it would be a shock if they're not at least in the conference final.
Yep. Yeah. But anyways, back to my original point, Rios is still well in the hunt for the Golden Boot. I think that's a really, positive sign for Nashville and the marketing efforts, and as well as for, just having a goal scorer like this, just consistently putting in goals left and right.
He's the top scorer in Nashville SC history, correct, at this point?
Yes.
I think
yes,
the closest that's is Mensa correct. With yes. 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can you continue to add on that? Well, all right. Well, after the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the results over the weekend and then look forward to our game against Indy 11.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your team or group at roughneckscarves.com. And also by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an art collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Speedway Soccer. Before we dive into Indy coming up this weekend, let's take a look at some of the results around the league. I think probably the biggest ones that we saw is some teams around us dropping points. Louisville dropping a game at home to Bethlehem Steel, and then Pittsburgh beating North Carolina FC, and then probably the most surprising was Red Bull drawing Memphis 2-2, Brandon Allen getting both of those goals. So a lot of the teams around us, two weekends in a row, dropping points. So I think it puts us in a pretty good position. I know we've talked about leading up to this throughout the season is there's still a lot of soccer left to play. There's still a lot of soccer left to play. And I think we're starting to see that right now.
Well, and also for the longest time, Nashville had games in hand on pretty much everybody around them, and now it's to the point that they either have the same amount of games played. Actually, they're a game behind everybody else ahead of them, except for Indy 11. I feel like we're getting a better idea of how good Nashville actually is and where they actually fit, because the games played argument is kind of evening itself out at this point.
Well, now Nashville is looking forward to possibly playing, didn't you say, 7 games in August or something like that? So I think picking up points at this juncture in the season is very crucial. Not that it's not, important in every part of the season. But
when you have a completely packed August, it's more likely that you're going to drop a result.
Points. Yeah.
And you had an 11-day break before Memphis and then a 10-day break before Indy. So you really have to take points from both of those.
Yeah,
and the breaks came at a good time. We've had some injuries. We've had some time for guys to get healthy. We'll see when the injury report comes out this week where La Grossa sits.
We'll find out at train. I think their availability is on Thursday, so we should get a better idea then. As of last week, he was expecting to have everybody back.
So, great chance to make up some ground getting those top four playoff spots. But looking ahead and looking at Indy, so on Saturday. Nashville welcomes Indy 11 to town. First game of the season at Nissan. The club is kind of branding this as your MLS preview game. Mm-hmm. I know that if you've gotten season tickets for the next seat for the newest season, you'll have your tickets plus whatever tickets from USL if you're a USL season ticket holder. But I mean, it's going to be a great chance to pack the place out, get a lot of people in there, gets a lot of eyes. hopefully see a goal in Nissan.
Yes.
because the Nissan, I don't know if curse, but we have
a small sample size.
Also because we haven't lost. I don't know if you can call not losing a curse. but I think it's going to be a really good chance to see where these two teams sit and how they've progressed from the last time we played. Mm-hmm. We played them last in May, where Indy was at a point, was kind of struggling. It was a 0-0 game.
First ever point against Indy for Nashville SC.
Yeah, because year before, they just completely had our number. Mm-hmm. But I think I think it's just going to be a really interesting matchup.
I mean, in Indy's one of the... I mean, in the power rankings and in the standings, I have them in third. They're definitely one of the top sides in the USL. I mean, but they lost to Hartford.
And that ended 2 weeks ago. That ended a 10-game unbeaten streak, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, they're a good side. They've only lost 3 times all year. But I feel like they haven't scored probably as much as their fans and probably their staff would have liked, especially with some of the additions they brought in. And I feel like they've shown that if you can limit their scoring, keep them to a goal, then there's the potential to take a draw or to take all 3 points. They're not a team who's going to... I don't think they're going to hang in a shootout with most teams.
I'm curious about the dynamics because Indy's been playing at Lucas Oil Stadium all season, and I feel like Nashville is playing Nissan Stadium the first time this season. The edge has to be a little bit to Indy, but by the same token, though, they play indoors, and it kind of like hollows it a little bit. But now that they're going outside in possibly 90-degree heat, how's that going to affect the game, as well as, you know, the turf, the width, all that fun stuff that really no one kind of takes into consideration, but it does play a factor in the game, I think.
Yeah, and I think going back to Ben's point about them not having scored as many goals, when you look at this team and see the talent that they have, especially on the attacking end with, you know, Innevoldsen, Dane Kelly, Tyler Pasher, Innevoldsen and Pasher, who scored this past weekend against Loudoun United. I mean, there is a lot of attacking talent. Illich as well, from who was at Louisville last year. I mean, so there is a lot of weapons there. So it's going to be a game that is going to continue to test Nashville from a defensive capability.
Yeah, and I think... I mean, the combination of Doyle and Oxford looked really good. I'm going to be really interested to see what shape Gary Smith goes with. He had been using a back three pretty consistently, I would say, for 4, 5, 6 games, and then switched to the 4-2-3-1 against Memphis. But with Tribbett hopefully coming back, I know that was at least the plan. Plan last week. It'll be interesting to see if he goes with 2 center backs or if he tries to get all 3 of Doyle, Oxford, and Tribbett on the field at the same time.
You guys touched on the offense a little bit, but I'm also curious about Indy's defense and their goalkeeping as well, because, I mean, they've got 9 combined clean sheets with 7 of them coming from
Ten of them after this past
weekend. Okay, 10 of them.
So between them and Phoenix, they lead the league in clean sheets.
Yeah, so that'll be something to keep an eye out for if Nashville can really crack that defense right now and really get some pressure on Newton or Farr, whoever's starting that game. So,
yeah, we'll see. I think just based on what I've seen from Indy, I think Maloto whether it's Maloto or whoever else plays that role, I think having someone who can link the midfield and forward lines is going to be pretty key, because I think that's really where Nashville struggled against Memphis, and Indy just kind of plays that way defensively, but to an even greater level.
Yeah, I think just kind of looking forward, what potentially Gary could do is, regardless of LaGrassa is healthy and ready to go, I don't necessarily see him starting, just because,
right.
I mean, he will have been out for, three and a half weeks since, so there'll be maybe some match sharpness lacking. Mm-hmm. But we know that LaGrassa is a guy that, comes back from injury quick. He's only missed 2 games, mm-hmm, with Nashville, so he's going to be... He'll be back out there quickly, but, I mean, he's a great weapon to have coming off the bench, especially, I feel like the game on Saturday is going to be hot, yeah, and you have a guy like that to come off the bench and, hassle and harry tired legs with also having that offensive capability that he's shown this season. But I think probably the more interesting thing is what he's going to do with the defense, because mm-hmm. it's a question of, you know, where Tribbett is, how far Tribbett is off of, you know, his injury and his recovery.
So just, I'm going to put you on the spot. If assuming everybody's healthy for Nashville and you had to name the starting lineup, what kind of, I mean, you don't have to go every position, but what kind of big picture, what would you go with?
I mean, I think with as good as Okford has looked, I think you have to start him. I thought him and Doyle looked really good together. I think that back four, I think I stick with that. I think, you know, with Kamara's experience, his defensive solidity, Taylor's ability to get forward and attack, I would go with that. Goalkeeper, it's kind of hard to choose between one. They both
should be Pickens on
yeah. Pickens
on that rotation,
just
right?
had a great game.
Yeah,
just going off the rotation.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be Pickens off rotation. I think midfield could be interesting. We saw Reed come on against Memphis, and so I mean he looks like he could be back. But I mean it would be kind of harsh for Vermeer or Akinyoede to lose their spot, because I felt they both played well against Memphis. Yep. So. And I think probably the attack, what you're going to do in the attack, maybe your most interesting, where you have the most, you know, chance to make some changes and do things interesting.
Yeah, I think, because I know Indy has played a lot with a back three, and I think I just worry that if Nashville plays with one striker, that Rios will get even more isolated than he was against Memphis. So, I mean, I think if it was me, I would go back to the 3-4-1-2 or whatever they've been using and try to get obviously start Rios and then maybe put either like Ropapa Mensah or maybe even Alan Wynn up there, and just a guy who can kind of drift and get wide and hopefully pull one of the center backs out of position. But yeah, I think a lot of that will obviously be contingent on who's healthy.
I mean, if he's looking to go two up top, we could see, because we saw earlier in the season the return of Carlton Belmar
yep.
up top. I thought when he came on against Memphis, he looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He had the middle of his jersey ripped off in that little kind of end of the game skirmish. But I think we actually have attacking options.
And yeah, there's a bevy of options that Gary can choose from.
I mean, I really wish that Lancaster.
Hopefully
he's healthy. But we just don't.
I think best case he comes off the bench. I don't see him starting after being injured again.
He could be one of those guys that comes in clutch with like a late goal or something like that. Anyways, to provide spark off the bench. So I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to him just coming off the bench. I think.
I mean, I'm never opposed to Cameron Lancaster.
Yeah.
And then from the Indy side, later this week, Andy's going to sit down and talk with Brian Cook from BG and Written, who's based up in Indy. So he's going to give us, we're going to have a more in-depth breakdown of Indy coming out later this week. And we'll talk some things that Nashville needs to do, things that Indy need to do to win, or things they could do that could cause a loss. But, I mean, I think that kind of wraps up. Any final thoughts on Indy versus Nashville?
Well, it should be a good one. Hopefully we see a big crowd out there as well, too.
Yeah, it'll be a... I mean, like you said, it'll be... I think it'll be a interesting preview just from, like, a logistics standpoint of playing at Nissan. And it's the first of two we'll have this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably the only other things is, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, great chance that I think they have discounted tickets if you want more. So it's a great chance to bring some friends, bring some family out there, let them see what MLS is going to look like next year. I think it's going to be, it should be an exciting day for Nashville. It'd be even more exciting with a win and the ability to pick up some points on Indy as well.
Yeah, even with a win. So Indy has 37 points, Nashville has 32. So even 3 points would still have Nashville 2 points behind Indy. But, I mean, when the top four is as tight as it is, or I guess everybody behind Tampa, just any points against another top team is going to be huge in terms of the final standings.
Any final thoughts, Andy? Well, all right. Well, as always, we're proud to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone podcast network and BGN, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves, your home for all USL, MLS, and US National Team scarves, along with scarves, custom scarves. I still think we have some scarves.
just a few.
That from that Davey has at his house. And then also as part of Golden Goal Press. We'll be back with you guys later this week with a preview of Indy with Brian Cook. Talk to you guys next week.